Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Share your question or comments using the live chat feature on our website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Again, that's www.allaboutwinebtr.com. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Thank you, boss people. Thank you. All right. Okay, good enough. Well, you got me tonight. You don't have Mike. Mike is under the weather. He wasn't feeling well, hasn't all week. I don't know what the word is, but he is not going to be with us tonight. He is recovering right now, but he'll be back next week, I'm sure. We have a guest tonight, Matthew Lindsay. He's director of fine wine for My Wine Society. Quite a place. We'll have him tell you all about it and everything. I did an interview with a Maria Liberati, and she is from the Maria Liberati show. You can check it out. I will be on the air on her show this Wednesday. Now, I'm not sure what time she is or anything else, but check it out. Mariah Liberati, Maria Liberati. And she can get you, or you can listen to my interview with her. It wasn't very long. It was about 20 minutes, something like that. But just talked about wine. And this is, July is Wine and Cheese Month. I didn't know that. She informed me of it. And that's why she got in touch with me to let me know it was Wine and Cheese Month. And we are set for that. So that's what that was all about. And let's see, what else is coming up? I don't know. I guess nothing. I don't have my calendar in front of me tonight because it's in the other room. There's something else that was happening. But, well, that's it. That's next Wednesday. I will be on the Maria Liberati show. And you can see that interview. Okay, Matthew Lindsay of My Wine Society is going to be getting in touch with us in a few minutes. I hope so. I haven't prepared much of anything else, counting on him to be calling in here. No Facebook tonight and no YouTube tonight because Mike usually gets those things hooked up and connected up on his end. He being my, main man of getting all that stuff and doing all electronics and everything else. And so he is not here tonight, so not on Facebook. He will be replaying this probably Sunday or sometime, so it will be on Facebook. Oh, it looks like we have Matthew that just called in. Let me bring him on to the show here. Hello, Matthew. Welcome to All About Wine.
Hey, Ron, thanks so much for having me. Really glad to be here with you.
No, it's our pleasure. I believe it really is. Mike is not with us tonight. Mike got in touch with me, and he's feeling a little under the weather, so he won't be here. Basically, he's in the background anyway and doesn't do too much except tweet out information during the show and look up any questions we have or anything, while we're doing this. But My Wine Society. I was reading through your Your website. Wow, that has a lot of information on it. I was really quite surprised. I didn't expect that. Before we get into that, I want to know about you. What you are a sommelier, I understand, according
Correct.
To...
Correct. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, that's, you know, well, you know, something to be proud of. That's I don't test well, so I probably never would become a sommelier because I'm horrible at testing.
It is very nerve-wracking, for sure.
Oh, I talk to people, and I know. I can imagine. So tell us about you. Where did you start? Why are you in wine? What started you on your road to wine? Have you been involved with wine since your mom fed you it in a bottle? I mean, what is your start?
Well, my start is a little bit of an interesting story. So I wasn't really conditioned to the wine life until I was almost in my 30s.
Wow.
I'm a you know, bright-eyed brown boy from Oklahoma. And so
yeah.
Growing up as basically a pastor's kid, my grandparents on both sides of my family were Baptist missionaries and pastors, and so growing up in the Bible Belt, we didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, experience with alcohol in the house. You know, it wasn't like it was a part of our daily dinner regimen or, you know, barbecues or holidays even. And so it was just kind of one of those things that I was a little naive to and didn't really have any experience. And so it wasn't until, like I said, I was in my late 20s when I really started kind of expanding my horizon, so to speak, and getting into the wine world. So I feel lucky that I started so late because I was able to forego the, you know, the college years of drinking cheap beer and having blackout nights. And
yeah, oh yeah.
So
I've had a few of those nights, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm counting my blessings and feel lucky that I didn't that I was able to bypass that whole part of life. But
that education.
yeah, exactly. And so I moved to Las Vegas, and the ironic thing is I was 17 years old. In high school, and I owned a nightclub, and it was one of the biggest nightclubs in Oklahoma City. And one of my roles was to purchase all the alcohol for the establishment. And so every, I think, Wednesday, I'd go in and do inventory and put in my order. And that was really my first, you know, kind of hands-on experience with, you know, the food and beverage and alcohol life and industry. But again, because it was a job to me, I never once even took a sip, you know, even after hours or during the week when nobody was around and looking. And so, it was just kind of interesting that it just played such a little, such a little impact on my life, you know, until I was a little older.
Matthew,
yeah.
I have to stop you. 17 years old and owning a nightclub.
17 years old. Yes, sir.
I can't let that pass. How did that happen?
Let's see. So I started, you know, kind of my entrepreneurial drive and spirit when I was about 14 years old. I met a gentleman, a buddy of mine, who was really involved in the nightlife scene in Oklahoma, if that was even really a thing back in, you know, 1994. And he invited me out to a couple of the after hours clubs. And for those that don't know, the after hours clubs, you know, it's all about the music. There's no alcohol being served. It's usually, you know, pretty late night. The club doesn't open until 11, 11 PM and usually goes till six, seven in the morning when the sun's coming up. And so it was just a very interesting lifestyle for me to kind of fall into. But I was really intrigued by, you know, kind of the music and the people and the culture of it. And so I was just intrigued as some, you know, young kid. And so, like any young entrepreneur, I was just kind of hungry to be a part of it and learn. And so I started, kind of marketing and putting flyers up and going to the mall and talking about the events and the DJs that we were booking. And eventually worked my way up, you know, to management position early on and kind of met the right people. And, you know, around the time I was, you know, like I said, my junior year, senior year of high school, you know, the club that I was working for had, we had outgrown it. And so we were in the process of looking for a new building to kind of renovate and grow into. And so the owners, who were good friends of mine, asked if I wanted to partner up with them. And so I went and had that conversation with my family, and they were very supportive. You know, my parents helped, you know, write the check so I could, you know, get financially involved. And that was kind of my first real business. And
wow.
So
well, that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm forever grateful for my family and my parents and their, you know, unwavering support. You know, most parents would be like, wait, you're 17 and you want to do what?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to own a what? Are you kidding me? But, you know, the only caveat to that was I had to sign a contract with my parents that I would A, pay back the loan, but more importantly, I would finish school. So it wasn't like I was going to drop out and you know, just get into the business side of things. But anyway, so that's kind of the background in the history. You know, I can say I overnight became the most popular kid in school. Everybody wanted to be my friend.
Without question. I was going to ask how you were able to purchase alcohol, but you know, if you had a partner and parents, then that, you know, gave you that connection there. So okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It was interesting. You know, that dynamic of, you know, having a, you know, successful nightclub and being underage, actually, in my own establishment.
Right.
I wasn't even old enough to get into my own place.
Right,
and,
okay.
It was a very interesting
time,
but...
I had to find out about that, you know, owned a nightclub at 17. I had to, you know, had to find out more on that. So you became an owner of a nightclub, and you were ordering and not drinking.
Not drinking, yeah. So that was kind of, like I said, my first... real touch point in the food and beverage industry. And then we'll fast forward a few years to my entry here into Vegas. I was, you know, again, I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, and I was just really focused on creating experiences and working in the nightlife industry. And you know, that's kind of where I really started to see the influence of wine in a much broader perspective. I was fortunate enough at the time, Robert De Niro and a couple of his partners ended up opening up an Italian restaurant at the Hard Rock. And I knew the management there, and they extended an invite to me. They said, Matthew, you know, you're very well connected in this town. You know, we really want we want you to bring people to the restaurant. And it was kind of, you know, it was kind of a social scene, right? Like you go and you see and be seen. And,
right.
You know, I was very fortunate and very lucky that, you know, he said, listen, for the next 6-8 months, just bring anybody and everybody, you know, 3-4 days a week, we'll comp all your meals, we'll comp all your drinks. And so, you know, it was at that moment in time where I stopped going to the grocery store and stopped buying groceries and cooking dinner. So I was constantly just living at the Hard Rock, you know.
Really.
I would take clients and I would take friends and family anytime they would come into town. And it was a really great experience, you know. I mean, Vegas is one of the biggest culinary and, wine-centric centers of the world. And so we were eating the best food, but I remember there was a point in time when I was sitting at the head of the table with some clients that I was really trying to impress. And, you know, I get handed the wine menu, and it was a Bible, right? I mean, it was as thick as a phone book. And I remember just the color leaving my face and my hands getting sweaty and clammy. And I'm here, you know, sitting here thumbing through this wine book like it's in Chinese. And it was a real pain point for me. It was a real moment of reflection of in realizing that, man, like, I need to step up my game, and I really need to start, like, figuring out what all of this is so I can elevate this experience. And so that was really the moment when I started paying attention to wine. And, you know, it was a great privilege that I had that opportunity to go. And, you know, I kind of made it a game. Every single dinner that I went and enjoyed, I made it a point to order something from a new country, a different varietal that I've never heard of, I can't even pronounce. And really just, you know, I would take a picture of the bottle and I would go home and I would just kind of study it and look up their website and learn a little bit about that particular wine and that particular wine style, and that particular producer. And so I started getting my legs, you know, underneath me a little bit and really becoming fascinated with the history and the culture and all the stories and then tasting my way through the world of wine. And I, like I said, it was a great privilege that I was able to do it with no consequence to my pocketbook and my wallet, because it was all paid for, and, you know, by the restaurant. And so, you know, so that was kind of my intro into really taking wine seriously. And, you know, my first collection that I started happened not too long after that. And I was coming home after a work day, and I ended up stopping off at like a Walgreens or CVS to get something. I can't remember what I was getting, and the store was going out of business, and everything was, you know, fire sale. They were just, you know, trying to move product, trying to get it out of the store. And so I ended up going down the wine aisle, and everything was, you know, 50-60% off. So I ended up filling two carts of wine full and just cleaning them out, and brought all these bottles of wine home. And now in hindsight, you know, I mean, I probably bought, I don't know, a couple hundred bottles of wine. And in hindsight, now that I think about it, you know, I'd probably be a little bit embarrassed to, you know, announce to you and your listeners what these bottles were. You know, they're probably, you know, from a very warm country with critters on the label, if you know what I mean. So.
Hey, if the label's pretty, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of my first, experience and my first intro into wine. And, you know, that was kind of my first collection. My collection's a lot different now. And, but then I really, you know, wine kind of became integrated in a part of my lifestyle. It wasn't just something that I ordered at dinner or if I was going to a party. It was something that I really sought out and was just incredibly curious about. And so anytime I would take a vacation or travel, I didn't care about anything about, well, is it wine country? Do they have vineyards there? Do they have wineries there? Can I go experience, you know, and hear stories and drink the wine of the country or the region that I'm going to? And so that was when I kind of knew that I was onto something that was going to be a little bit more important in my life and long term. And so again, I started folding in wine into every element of my life, and started going to wine tastings and traveling and, you know, collecting and everything else. And one day I was at a wine, you know, experience convention festival thing here in Vegas at one of the local, one of the bigger wine shops called these Wine Experience. They host an annual event where they, you know, will bring in, I don't know, probably 700-800 to 1,000 different wines and spirits, and then it's, you know, it's a 2-day long event, and you just get to go kind of taste through, and you pay a ticket fee, and then you get to just go enjoy all these amazing wines. And so I was there, and I was just kind of enjoying myself as a you know, consumer, and I was talking to one of the guys who was serving me, and we were just, you know, having a casual conversation about wine, at least so I thought. And he made the comment, and he posed a question to me and said, well, how do you know so much about wine? And, you know, I kind of looked at him with a question on my face, and I said, well, I didn't know that I did, but, you know, I'm passionate about it, and I'm interested in it. And so I just kind of try to be intentional and pay attention to, you know, what I'm drinking, where it's from, who's producing it, the styles, all those types of things. And he goes, well, you know, do you want to come work for me? And I go, well, I don't even know who you are or what you do.
Yeah, really.
You know, I'm like, do I need to call an adult? Like, I feel like I'm getting, you know, propositioned into a van that says free candy.
Really?
And, so anyhow, he told me, I'm an importer distributor and I do, you know, wine sales. And basically what you would do is you would go do wine tastings at, you know, on-premise locations and teach about wine and talk about wine to consumers and sell it. And I said, well, okay, well, what's the catch? And he's like, well, there is no catch. I pay you and then you get to trade, you know, you get to drink free wine and you get to keep whatever's left over out of the case and talk about wine. I said, sign me up. So I ended up working for Southern and a couple other distributors here in town. And that was kind of the beginning. That was kind of the beginning of the end for me as far as, making the transition into wine just consumer on the consumer side and just enjoying it, transitioning into lifestyle and then transitioning again into, complete career move.
And you decided to pursue it further and get your sommelier license or certification?
I was working for this gentleman doing these wine education and tasting, and there was a very pivotal moment during that time that really kind of shifted my life, and that was I was doing just a wine tasting event. There was a nice couple in front of me. We were having a nice casual conversation about the wines that I was pouring. I was telling them about the soil. I was telling them, you know, probably more than I probably should have, but, you know.
I know, we get passionate.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're probably like, my man, just hush, let us drink the wine, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're armed with that knowledge, it's a blessing and it's a curse because you have to share it. And so I was sharing with them, you know, the intimate details of this particular wine that they were actually really enjoying. And unbeknownst to me, there was a master sommelier behind me who was a part of the event, but I didn't know who he was and I didn't know that he was a part of the event. He just was kind of floating around behind me. And the couple leaves and I'm kind of, you know, just sitting there by myself because there's a little lull in the event. And the master sommelier came up to me and said, how do you know so much about wine? And immediately it triggered that memory from several years prior because it was literally word for word, the exact same question. And that was very intriguing and interesting to me that I was like, wait a minute, this is a sign, right, from above. This is a sign from God that I should pay attention to this moment. And I kind of smirked, you know, and I kind of gave him the same canned answer. I said, well, I don't know. I'm just passionate about it. It's part of my, you know, who I am and my identity and my lifestyle. And, you know, I gave him some, you know, canned answer. And he said, so you're not a sommelier. I go, no, I don't, I've always wanted to become one. I don't even know what the process is to even become one. I know it's very daunting, but I know. And he said, he looked me in my eye and he said, you would be doing yourself and you would be doing this industry a disservice if you didn't stop whatever you were doing and go become a sommelier and work full-time in this industry. Because you know too much, you're too charismatic, like you have too much passion to not. And that was really an eye-opening experience and moment for me that really encouraged me to go do that. And so I actually ended up signing up for, a 10-week boot camp with a different master sommelier in town, and did this incredibly intensive training and course, and then spent another, 6 months, 8 months studying for the exams, and then that was it. So ever since then, I've made it a mission to really be a champion for the wine industry.
Very good, very good. I You know, I've been trying to think. There is a lady that we have interviewed, and she's been on the show. She's been a guest a couple of times, and she is located there in Las Vegas, and she has taken the sommelier test, but she failed it the first time, and I haven't talked to her since then to see if she passed the second time. She was telling us how very difficult it is, and if you fail one part of it, then it's pretty much, you know, ends the whole thing. And
right.
last time I talked to her, a couple years ago, I've been going nuts. This is where Mike worked very well for us, because I could say, Mike, who was that? And he'd go back and look it up and let us know. But, for the life of me, I can't think of her name. But you may have crossed paths with her, if I can think of her name.
Oh, I'd be interested to know. Yeah, I would be really interested to know who it is.
Yeah, when I find out, I will email you. She is also a woman of color. So, I wish I can think of her name.
Does she work in the industry, or is she working at a restaurant?
She works in there. She has a blog called The Vegas Wino, and not W-I-N-O, W-I-N-E-A-U-X. I don't know. Well, I will find out, and I will email you
Please do. I mean, I'm Googling her for now, but I'll revisit this here in a little bit. But, I'd be interested to know who that is see if she's made it down that path a little bit further.
Yeah, she was doing the test, and last time I talked to her, and it's funny because like every 3 or 4 months I say, I need to get a hold of her and see how she's doing, and I don't pursue it, but I'm sure that she has pursued it and she has it, but she's located there in Las Vegas, and it just seemed funny that you were there also. I was going to ask, why Las Vegas? There are lots of other wine areas in the country that you would think before Las Vegas. Why Las Vegas?
Well, Vegas wasn't my first choice.
Okay.
It wasn't my first choice as far as leaving the nest and finding a new place to call home. I originally wanted to go out to Florida, but I came to Vegas on a family vacation in 2003, and I was actually pretty upset about it. I didn't want to go to Vegas. It was too hot. I didn't smoke. I didn't gamble. I didn't drink. And I didn't go to strip clubs, so I didn't really understand the point and purpose of coming to a place where there wasn't going to be any kind of, anything exciting for me and my family to do. But I digress. I ended up getting voted off, and we came to Vegas, and by day three, something in me clicked, or something about this town and clicked, and I kind of made this declaration at the Mirage. I remember like it was yesterday, that I was going to move here, and I ended up going home. I had a successful marketing entertainment business in Oklahoma City, and actually, I had a 20-year career in radio. I was in broadcasting.
Oh, really?
As well, sure was. And I kind of made a range.
DJ or as a talk radio or what?
Yeah, on air. I was a host of a electronic music program on the weekends, but then I also did a couple of talk programs as well. And so I spent I think 19 years total on air and on FM and online and really, really loved it and really was passionate about it. And so, it's an interesting dynamic for me to call in and be a guest on a show when I was usually the one doing the interview. It's kind of fun. I kind of like this.
Well, Mike does a radio program. He's a DJ on a radio program on Saturday mornings. He's one that is still doing some DJing and all that on the radio. But
cool.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I was a guest on a program let's see. I'll tell you what. I can't think of stuff after. The Maria Liberati Show. I don't know if you're familiar with Maria.
I'm not, but I heard you talk about that at the top of the show.
Yeah, she does an Italian cook show, and she knows a lot about Italian wines and everything else. And I was a guest on her show, and I can relate to the fact that, yeah, I know what you mean. It's just sort of different when you're on the other end of the question.
Yeah, I want to be checking my screen and pushing buttons and, adjusting microphone level.
Yeah, it's just a little strange.
Let's get Ron on the Gettner.
I know. And the thing is with her though, she edited and then puts it up, becoming up Wednesday. I don't edit. This is going out now. This is,
oh boy. Well, I apologize if I
you're good. You've been doing great. So you wine importer, wine distribution, wine education. That basically you've been doing that for a number of years then.
Correct. Yeah, as I've kind of grown in this space, I've made it a very strong intention of mine to have my thumbprint on any and every area that I possibly can. Everything from education to events to wine production, to everything. So. I'm one of those guys that I don't know if overachiever is the right word, but I'm just hungry, and
good word, hungry. Yeah.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry for knowledge. I'm hungry to learn, and the more I learn, the more I consume, the more I want to give, and I feel that it's a blessing and a curse to have the burden of this knowledge, of wine. But I feel like we have this duty, and I apologize for painting such a broad, colorful picture, but we have this duty to share this information with people. And so, because wine is such a great communicator between cultures, between race, between religion, between socioeconomic, strata levels, none of that really matters whenever you're sitting across from each other and you've got something beautiful in the glass that you guys are sharing together.
Exactly.
And, that's incredibly important to me. I was born in Israel and grew up in Oklahoma. And, the family unit is such an important part of who I am and my culture. And as I was sitting in building relationships and all those types of things. And when I was sitting in that restaurant for that, year period where I was able to drink and eat and enjoy, one thing I noticed, panning across the restaurant floor was there was a bottle of wine on these people's tables, and they were laughing and they were enjoying each other's company. They were cheersing, they were celebrating. Some were crying, most were laughing, but, that was incredibly impactful to me and was a great visual representation of how wine is a communicator and how it brings people together. And so I was like, I'm in. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I've noticed, I've been involved with wine quite a bit of my life also, and there's always stories to tell. There's always things to pass on. There's always something that, even in one bottle of wine, there's stories to tell in that. And that's what's so fun about wine. There's the story behind everything is, it was drives my guests. I mean, I get people on and they all have their stories to tell. And it's all wine brings that out in people, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I 100% agree.
So,
and everybody experiences the same wine in a different way, and so that's what makes it interesting. It's never boring.
Yeah, it's just so many. What do you think of that? And people look at it so differently. It's just it makes it exciting. It really does. So
right.
You became educated, and
depends on who you ask.
Yeah. And now my wine society became your home. How did that happen? And how did you get started with what four other people? It looks like on what I see here.
Yeah, so my wine society is a company based out of San Diego, California.
Oh,
and they're the parent company of several other wine centric brands and companies. First things first, you know, we're a wine technology company, and so we've created an application, the My Wine Society app, that is kind of built with the purpose and intent of bringing together wine lovers, and kind of bridging that gap between the antiquated wine industry and these tech savvy young, you know, hip cool kids. and giving them a platform to where they can share their experiences, learn about wine, get integrated with other people that that share that same passion with them. And so, you know, that's kind of one of the arms of this machine that is kind of telling this great grand picture of wine. And so another thing that we're doing is a blended wine and music festival. We're in our third year, but second year of production. We did the Blended Wine Festival in 2019. We were going to continue and grow it in 2020. I won't bother to tell you why we didn't.
Hey.
I think it's pretty obvious.
A lost year, yeah, for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, you know, 2021, we're coming back full strength, and we're doing the Blended Festival in Nashville, San Diego, and Austin this year. And then next year we have a growth strategy to grow into, we're looking at maybe nine plus cities next year. And, you know, one of the major focuses of that particular event is the wine. And, we've got, most people understand, festivals as a music festival. And
right.
This is a music festival. Right. We've got an incredible lineup of A-list celebrities and great, huge musicians across all genres, country, rock, hip hop, top 40. So that music element is a very important part of what we're trying to create. But, another very big important part of the festival is the wine tent. So I'm the executive director. The executive sommelier and the director of wine for the Blended Festival. And so in each city, I have 100 plus long foot long wine tent. And so I'm curating wine experiences for today's wine drinker. It's a really cool opportunity for people to come and try wine and learn about wine and experience wine and make it a part of their everyday conversation and their everyday lifestyle. And I think it's important to note that, you know, I'm not just throwing a bunch of wine in a wine tent and calling it a wine festival, right? I think that's easy to do, and I think that's what most people do whenever they throw these wine festivals or these wine events. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I really feel like this is an incredible opportunity to create a completely different experience and tell a completely different story about wine. And then, like I said, infiltrating it into their lifestyle, right? Instead of them holding up a Miller Lite or a Bud Light while they're listening to their favorite band, I want to look across a crowd of 15,000 people and I want to see them holding up a glass of wine.
Mm.
And that's kind of what we're creating with the Blended Festival.
All right. That sounds like a great thing. One thing I was a little disappointed in, and when you were listing cities, I did not hear any of them from Florida there.
Well, just wait for 2022, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't
want
to give away any secrets, but I have a feeling that one's going to be on the map.
Okay, well, we got Orlando, we got Miami, we got Tampa, Jacksonville. There's some exciting cities here in Florida that would love to have something
that
come visit.
And what part of Florida are you in?
Just north of Tampa.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely love to have you at the festival when we're there next year.
I will look forward to getting some information on it. I will definitely, by next year too, we won't have any travel restrictions or anything else, and be able to hopefully go back to some semblance of normal. So is this blended festival the keystone to My Wine Society, or is it a branch?
So it's a little bit of both. It's a lot of both, actually. So the Blended Festival is probably, the biggest driver of, our biggest influence as far as reach. Since we're in so many cities and we have, a great team of 25 really, really talented people that are helping to bring this whole thing together across the country. But it's not the only thing, right? Like I said, it's not the only thing, but it's definitely probably the biggest piece that we have in this machine that we're building.
Mm-hmm. So the chance to wine tastings brought to you by My Wine Society, and if you like this, you can sign up for us and continue receiving fine wines from these fine wineries, just like you've tasted here today, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. And so, and that's another component of the company is we have a monthly wine subscription program. And so, again, we're not just throwing wine in a box and calling and putting a feather in our hat and saying, hey, look at us guys. We're another wine subscription
right.
company, because, the world doesn't need another one of those. They need a curated experience. And that's exactly what the Loyalty Club is. We create monthly themed boxes that also have gift inclusions. And so not only will you be getting really great wines from all over the world, you'll also be getting, anywhere from 4 to 6 gifts that kind of complement that experience and create that experience for you.
Wow.
So this last month our theme was summer bunning. So we did a couple of really nice summer friendly wines that you can have out by the pool. And we also included, a summer survival kit. So we gave you some sunglasses, some really high-end designer sunglasses, a really great trucker hat that says captain on it. So, if you want to go out and lay by the pool, you can, wear this great captain's hat. And then, some SPF chapstick and some SPF suntan lotion and a couple other things. So, we're really trying to, like I said, create a lifestyle around wine, and that's where these curated monthly wine boxes kind of come into play. So each month is completely different, and it's themed, it's thoughtful, and it's curated by myself and a couple other people on the team that really just want to create something interesting that you're gonna want to take pictures of, and you're not gonna forget, and you're gonna want to talk about it with your friends. And it's just a completely different elevated experience.
And that is your Loyalty Club, then?
That is our Loyalty Club.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. You get wine from, you said, around the world. Do you have connections to all these wineries, or you just walk down to your local wine store and pick up stuff? How do you do that?
So a little bit of both. So we do have, connections with, some distributors that were able to kind of pick wines from all over the world. but we also have relationships with a lot of wineries as well. And mm-hmm. so we do some special boxes with wineries that don't necessarily have that, extensive distribution channel.
Oh, okay. So if someone becomes a member of the Loyalty Club, could they expect wines that could possibly not be available to anyone else, just them?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, we put wines in the box that are familiar, but then also wines that are going to kind of expand your horizons, and they're very boutique wineries that don't have, large distribution. And so you're going to get some special wines for sure.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's always a good thing there. Now, Blended Festival. I'm going to jump back to, I'm on your website here to just to let you know I'm not just pulling this stuff out.
Fine. Sure. No, yeah, by all means.
The tickets are, is this, well, I haven't found anything. Let me click on this here and see. Tickets on sale today. Now, oh, okay, here we go. We got buy tickets, experience, Nashville, Austin, San Diego. That's the only three cities you have right now?
Yep, those are three cities that we've got going on for 2021.
Okay. And so you can get tickets and everything there. And let's see, here we go. San Diego, October 15th, 16th, Nashville, August 13th to 14th. That's the next one. Then September 10th and 11th in Austin. So anyone live in those areas, it is, you can check out those sites and all that. Now, on your, go back to your website here, you have a whole section of wine influencers. That's something I have to honestly say I have not seen. Wine influencers, where do you find them? Why? Wine influencers. Yeah.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about us being a wine technology company and utilizing technology to get our message out there to the world. And so, influencers have become a really, really big staple in the growth of a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. And so we like to utilize and leverage them as kind of a sounding board for My Wine Society and the festival. And so we bring on people from all over the country that have large followings, large passionate followings of fans that kind of align with who we are as a company and our ethos and our messaging. And one of the primary requirements is that, they have to be interested and involved in wine and or passionate about wine. You know, their content has to be kind of centered around wine and the lifestyle of wine. And so we kind of, bring them into the family and invite them to, help us spread the message about, kind of the programming and the festivals and everything that we've got going on.
No, well, I suppose influencers are, like you said, a big thing now, but it's something I've never heard associated with wine. You're on cutting edge there, I suppose you can say, on getting some people involved with being influencers on wine. That's cool. I like that. The wine influencers. You also have your website. And by the way, I'll let you give all information here about websites and everything else at the end. So, but I noticed you have a pretty good section here on Wine 101, wine information. That's good, but it seems to me rather short. Is this just something that's beginning, or is it? I mean, it's a great idea, but it just seems like it's a little.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's something that we're definitely developing is kind of the educational side of our website and our app. I've actually been tasked with doing Wine Wednesdays where I do kind of a little, short little educational video. And so we're working on all that programming and kind of educational pieces to kind of help bridge that gap between curiosity and interest and, pure unbridled passion.
No. Well, good. It's a good section there. I mean, the Wine 101 section is very interesting because it asks and answers some basic questions that some people, I'm sure, are curious about. And people just starting in wine, these are things that they don't know. So that's a good thing. Wag, y'all have a dog that is part of your business. I mean,
I think John, one of the owners of the company, is really passionate about dogs and has dogs, and so I think that's kind of where the dog element comes into play.
I see.
So yeah, I think that's where you're seeing all the dog images.
Yeah, because we, Wags and Wine, we have a bunch of pictures of different dogs with their glass of wine in front of them, and I just think something that.
Because I love dogs and wine.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of dogs are noted for drinking their wine and having their picture taken. They try to hide it, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
My Wine Society, the concept of it is a great idea. Who came up with this? Who was the founding father of my Wine Society?
So John Bazzo, this was his kind of idea and creation. He's a pretty passionate guy when it comes to wine, and so he wanted to curate and create something that was a little bit different. And so he partnered up with Sean, and they've kind of created this parent company of My Wine Society, and then it's evolved over the last few years into kind of where we're at now and where we're going with the festivals and the app and everything else. So
I see. So the festivals are going to be expanding. You have three this year. Are you what is your ultimate goal? I mean, is it having one a month or one every 2 weeks or somewhere in the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us as a company, we're really focused on, growing in the right way and in the right cities. And so, we're kind of looking in 2022, expanding to, anywhere from 6 to 9 cities based on capacity and availability and all that kind of stuff. But, we know that there's some really great cities out there that would love to call the Blended Festival home. And so we're kind of exploring a lot of those. We have some at different stages of, commitments and things like that. But 2022, 2023 is going to be a great season of growth and excitement for what we're doing.
And the music, you say, covers the whole genre of styles. Say you're in Nashville this year, maybe country there, but are you scheduled for Nashville maybe next year and have, Southern rock or something? I mean, is you going to be jumping around like that, or what is the plan for that?
Yeah, we're not really, the idea isn't to, this isn't an EDM festival or this isn't a country festival. It's a music festival. It's a wine festival. It's a wellness festival. It's a food festival. And so I think just as wine has, different expressions and experiences, the music has to kind of play alongside that. And so the music, the food is even though Nashville is very, hot chicken and barbecue friendly, we're featuring that. We're also featuring other styles of food similarly to the music. Yes, Nashville is known for their country and their rock, but we want to have something for everybody. And just like wine, we want this to be an all-inclusive event. And so we don't want to single out any one genre or any one style or any one style of wine. This isn't a California wine festival. This is a wine from all over the world festival.
All right. Okay. That summed up what, I was looking at and trying to figure out what you were going to be doing. So it's just music to get people out and wine to pair with the music and enjoy it. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And let's see. I had one other question here. Where was it? Let me find it because I've been flipping around while I've been talking to you. And
sure, take your time.
The Bazzo Show. Is that your founder's show that he has done. I noticed you have a link to the Basil show, and I noticed that John Basil is one of the investors and partners. Is that the one and the same?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not familiar with what that is.
No. Well, on your website, not to put you on the spot here, that's beyond me to do that. I don't try to do that. But on your website, the far right-hand side, it says more in different things, and it's a drop-down box, and it says featured wine pairings and the Basil show. And you click on that, and it says the funniest wine show on the internet. And
John Basil. Okay, sorry. I don't know what I heard. I heard something different. I don't know exactly what that is. I think John for a while was part of what he was doing was doing a podcast and talking about wine and interviewing people. I haven't heard of much of that since I've kind of come on board, so I'm not sure if that's on a hiatus or a pause or if he's still doing that. So, yeah, that I don't know.
Okay. I noticed that here. His last episode looks like was April the 30th. So,
maybe so.
I saw that on there, and it looked interesting. And an irreverent look at wine, I thought might be fun. So, but not to put you on the spot, but something for you to educate yourself on.
That's right. Now I got to go do some homework.
There you go. That's your own website.
That's right.
So, well, Matthew, give us all the information about My Wine Society, how people can get in touch with you, websites, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything, any phone numbers that they might be able to connect, anything that people are listening to the show and want to learn more, which probably everything's on your website, but still, give us all the stuff on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to be a part of the monthly wine club, you can go to mywinesociety.com. You can also download our app on Apple or Android or Google Play. And if you're interested in the wine festival, the Blended Wine Music, Food, and Wellness Festival, I call it a lifestyle festival. But if you're interested in coming and seeing what I've got kind of curated and planned for the wine tent, you can go to blendedfestival.com. I'd love to extend a discount for you and your fans and your listeners. If whenever you're checking out, doesn't matter what city you are buying tickets for, whether it's Nashville, Austin, or San Diego, if you type in the word "The Lord of Wine," it'll give you my friends and family discount. While you're checking out, you'll see a section that says "Enter promo code," and again, just put in "The Lord of Wine." And that'll give you my friends and family discount. So, and then
one
if you want to follow
word.
Me and my, yeah, one long word, yep. And if you want to follow me and my journey in the wine world and what we're kind of creating and what I'm creating, I'd love for you guys to follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is at the Lord of Wine.
Oh, okay. So that's simple enough. Very good. So mywinesociety.com. That's all one thing. They got everything on there. They got a lot of information on there. And you can just check on that and see just about everything that we've talked about tonight. And it'll break down also the festival and everything else. And so you can see everything that that you want to see. And don't forget your discount, The Lord of Wine. And we'll look forward to festivals hitting other parts of the country over the next couple of years, over the next however many years. It's something that's going to be growing and all that. And thank you, Matthew,
absolutely.
For taking the time out this evening. And
Brian, it was my absolute pleasure. Really great to chat with you.
Talking with us and all that. And I will find out the name. I still... drive me nuts. Find out the name of that blogger that lives in Las Vegas there, and I'll send it to you. I'm gonna have to get her back on the show. I keep saying that, but I haven't. But I'll have to get her back on. But I'll send that out to you, and maybe in a couple years we can get you back on again, and you know we can talk about how far this wine festival and blended festival has gone. So that would be interesting.
Would love that. Looking forward to the follow-up chat.
All right. Very good. Take care of yourself. Thank you for taking the time out tonight. It was fun, educational, and entertaining. And we'll look forward to talking to you sometime in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much again, Ron. God bless everybody, and sip well.
Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
And bye now. Okay. And why am I missing my BTR? There it is. Okay. All right. Now I'm still here and I'm still on. For some reason, my excuse me, my studio page disappeared there for a moment. So there we go. Matthew Lindsay, a director of fine wine from My Wine Society. Interesting story. 17 years old, owning a nightclub. Oh my gosh. Give him credit though, 17-year-olds owning a nightclub would end up destroying their lives from that point on. He had himself a focus and did a great job on it. So he did a wonderful job on that. And he's came out and doing great with wine. So I guess we're done for another week here. Mike, hope you're feeling better, and he should be back next week. And it's driving me crazy who I can picture her and her wine blog and everything. I can't think of her name. Oh, well, it's going to get tickets, use the discount, the Lord of Wine for the blended festivals. And if you do attend it, send me an email. Let me know what it was. They're not coming up for a couple months here, but if you do attend it, send me an email. Let me know about it. That would be interesting. There's none down here in Florida yet. They should be here next year. So from what he was saying, they got one or more scheduled in the Florida area. All right. We're done for another week. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you tuning in. We've been, getting some good interviews and some good people on here. Don't forget to check out my interview next Wednesday evening. That's when she said it was going to be on. Oh, is it next Wednesday evening? Let's see. What is today? Today is the 24th. No, probably 2 weeks. I'm sorry. She said around the 7th it will be on. So 2 weeks from yesterday, the 7th, she said it's going to be on. So check out. I'll tell you about it again next week, I guess, because it's still got another week to inform me about it. And by that time, I'll do some searching and find out exactly how you can tune in on it. But the Maria Liberetti Show, she's got a lot of stuff going for her. So we'll let you know what's happening with my interview with her next week. And we will look forward to seeing all of you next week. Be safe this week. Be careful out there. If you're out west, be careful with the heat. Stay hydrated. And if you're in the middle of the country, not only is it hot, but it's also drought areas all over the place and all sorts of stuff. I'm going to try to get hold of some wineries and see how the heat and the lack of water is affecting some of their grapes this time of year. So hopefully I'll have a report on you for that next week. Be safe. Take care. And again, thank you, Matthew, for being on tonight. And we'll see all of you next week here on All About Wine.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.